All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Hope you guys are okay. Today, as you'll see from the title, we are heading back into the world of Gas Panic. It's a song that deserves two parts of a breakdown. So if you didn't hear part one, then do head over to it. It was the last but one episode on this channel where I talked about it with Craig Redpath. And today I'm very, very excited to say we are being joined by someone who physically played on Gas Panic, Charlotte Glasson, who is a multi-instrumentalist. She plays flute on the track. And so we hear all about the recording of it and how that all came about at Supernova Heights with Noel and Paul, Strange Boy Stacey. So yeah, really great discussion with Charlotte. So I hope you enjoy that. And then also on the other side of that, I'll just talk through what you guys said on Twitter and a few other points that we wanted to make about it that we didn't cover off in the chat with Craig. So that's what we're doing today. There's nothing else particularly exciting going on, I don't think. I suppose the only thing to say is it's been a bit of fun on Twitter the last couple of days is that Chris Moyles is a bit of a twat. He was, I think, on his radio show replying to sort of someone who'd had a bit of a go at him online for not playing any new bands or unsigned bands. And yeah, he had a bit of a rant at this person. That has then been shared, and it seems like there's a huge backlash against him for being a prick who has the opportunity to support new music and doesn't. So yeah, so I even wrote a little piece about it. If you'd like to read about my thoughts, it's on the Patreon. Patreon.com/OasisPod, although it is a publicly viewable one, so it's not one that you have to pay to see. So yeah, do feel free to go and check that out if you want to give it a read. And yeah, I'm always happy to support new music on there here. So what I tend to do, if you've listened to the show before, then I always like to get audio messages from people. So if you are in a band or you're an artist and you'd like to be played on the podcast, the best thing is send me an audio message talking about yourself, how you got into Oasis, and introduce your song, and I'll play a bit of it as long as it's good. So yeah, there we go. Right, there's nothing else interesting in the world of Oasis. I don't think Noel's arranged a few more gigs since I last recorded. Liam's still recuperating from his hip operation. But other than that, all quiet on the Western Front. Right, so let's move on then. Let's catch up with Charlotte Glasson. Wonderful. All right, welcome to the Oasis podcast, Charlotte Glasson. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. How are
you? Wonderful. I'm good. Yeah, I'm really good, and very happy to be speaking to you. It's always one of the great joys of doing this podcast is there's hundreds of people all around the world that you wouldn't necessarily think are connected, but there's this one connection, which is that they've had some sort of interaction or were inspired by, you know, Oasis. And so
yeah,
so having different people from, you know, string arrangers, harmonica players, all these various things, and now we have a multi-instrumentalist who played flute on one of the most best loved Oasis songs. So yeah, real pleasure to have you on.
Excellent.
Do you want to just let us know about your background, where you grew up and how you got into music?
Well, I'm from Brighton, grew up in Brighton, and my dad's a musician. So it was kind of inevitable, really, that I'd become a musician, but I play lots of different instruments. So I started off on violin, then picked up a bit of the guitar, and then sort of like ditched that when I started to learn how to play the saxophone, which I guess is my main instrument.
Right.
But then if you play the saxophone, you have to play the flute and the clarinet. So I sort of self-taught flautist and clarinet player as well. And then I play lots of other instruments as well. But so now I'm a multi-instrumentalist. So I never let anything go, never let anything fall behind, really. So it's meant that I've always been very busy.
Well,
and you know, I'm classically trained on the violin, so I can read music, but then I do a lot of improvising and playing by ear and a lot of sessions. So I've got my feet in both camps, really.
Yeah,
which is very handy.
Yeah, no, I bet, especially, I know, having spoke to a lot of musicians, it's sort of that ability to sort of jump into different sessions and be able to just sort of, you know, not be too tied to one thing, but then be able to sort of improvise and sort of try something a little bit different.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's good.
And so what about your, so when did you first get into, you know, the becoming a session player and then getting involved in, obviously we with the Oasis thing we'll come to, but another one that was a big one for me obviously a big Britpop fan, a big Divine Comedy fan, was that you've played lots and lots with the Divine Comedy and Jovi Talbert.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sort of came about by accident, really. I mean, I think life is generally a bit of an accident, isn't it? So I went to university and met some people there and was living in Putney. But I was also friends with, from when I was doing my A-levels, with people that were at Guildhall and stuff. So we all ended up living together. And then the Divine Comedy came about with my friend Anna Giddy met Joby Talbot in the pub, and they were looking for some string players. So I got involved in it that way. And then I said to Neil, oh, I play saxophone too. So I'm great, come and do all this stuff. Was like that. And then I think it's just word of mouth, really. Things, once you do one thing, people go, oh yeah, that's good. So I bumped into we moved to Clapham and above a curry house, and we're a couple of jazz musicians, and downstairs they kind of like, oh my god, you see who's having dinner downstairs? And it was a guy called Jason Rebello, piano player, who we're all big fans of, and he was there with these two twins, Jeremy and Paul Stacey. And so it's kind of like, okay, so we didn't go in or anything, but then I needed a guitar player for a gig for my band, because I run my own band as well. And so I thought, right, I'm going to give Paul a ring. He must live locally, and he was up for it. And I don't think he was doing much playing at the time, but Jeremy was really busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul came and did this gig with us, and it was great, really nice gig. And then, you know, it's just a one-off thing, didn't see him for a while. And then I bumped into both of them coming back from a gig that I'd been to at the Barbican, I think, with Paul and Jeremy. And they stopped me in the street and asked me what I was up to. And Jeremy's list of who he was playing with at the time was just ridiculous. And I was like, oh, what have I been doing? I was like, oh, I've been doing this band, The Divine Comedy. And they both got on their knees and started to worship me because they were huge Neil Hannon fans. I was like, oh, this is quite strange.
Well, literally on your knees in the street.
Yeah, they're very over the top. They're lovely. And we became fast friends after that. I was especially close to Paul because Jeremy was off all the time. But it was through Paul that obviously he started. I think he had an audition to play keyboards with Oasis. And he's a fantastic guitar player, but I mean, he's a fabulous musician. And I knew that he'd get the job, and I knew that he'd get on well with Noel. And lo and behold, he got the job. And then so it's through him that he says, oh, we need some flute on this thing. I think Noel did a track remix of an Uncle tune, The Knock On Effect. So I played flute on that, went round Supernova Heights, recorded that.
Oh, and wow. Then, you recorded that at Supernova Heights?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And how was that?
It was quite bizarre, really, because obviously I knew what I was getting into, but not really, you know, just turning up. But I knew that I was going to Noel's house. So, yeah, went round there. Noel answered the door. And, you know, people always seem bigger on screen or on the thing. So he's not as tall as I thought he was. And he's there answering the door, and then went up into the attic where Paul was staying to do this remix, and recorded it up there. So that was quite good fun. And then the same happened with Gas Panic. I got a call to do it. And I think Noel was tickled because Paul rang me on the phone and was kind of like, can you do it next Tuesday? And I'm like, oh, I can't do it next Tuesday. And he's like, you know, you can't say no to playing with Oasis. I was going, well, I'm busy next Tuesday. I've got a theatre thing. I can't not do it. And Noel likes all those kind of like little things.
So well, that's good. It's like, almost like standing up to him. It's like, okay, fair enough. He sort of does. Do you think he sort of respected you for that? Really,
I think so. Yeah, he just likes it when, yeah, it doesn't always go his way. I think, you know, because everyone would be bending over backwards. So I went there when I was free to do it, and yeah, we recorded Gas Panic, which was only meant to be the demo version when I recorded it, and I think the plan was to get Ian Anderson to come in and redo the flute. From
no
Jethro
way,
Tull.
Really? Jethro Tull.
And
wow.
Then that never happened because Noel liked my bits. So for the tune, they played it to me. Noel had a really strong idea of what he wanted the flute to do, this flute solo. I could still sing it now, you know, it's such a strong melody, such a genius at all that. So I ended up kind of jamming along with it and playing this little line. Da, da. Or something like that. Me and Paul changed it slightly, but essentially it was like Noel was going like, oh, I really love that ending because it's so nice and English, which I hadn't thought of at all. But yeah, he really liked that. And then so on the demo, I do a flute solo. And then when the album came out, they replaced it with a guitar solo, I think, or harmonica solo. I can't remember. You'll know more than I will.
Well, I mean, there's a lot going on in that. That's just a wall of sound at the end,
Yeah, and it's a bit, oh, well, I haven't got the flute solo, but I'm still playing on it. That's great, you know.
Mm.
But a few years later, I bumped into Noel, and I think Paul had told me as well. He said that the version that I play the flute solo is his favourite version of Gas Panic. That's I was like, oh, that's nice to know.
Well, it's also the one he sings on, so that might, yeah. might
maybe
But no, that is great. I mean, those demos from that, from those sessions that they then, they're brilliant. They're sort of really well put together demos. And yeah, and as I said, the flute is so much more clear in that one. But yeah, but even in the big one, I mean, the main bit that you hear is where it sort of goes ba-da-ba, like that. That's quite clear in the mix there. You think, well, that's definitely a flute, you know, because otherwise it is just a bit mushy in there. But no, it does add so much texture to that, to that song.
Yeah. And it's nice for them to choose flute, I think, as well, because obviously you've got to breathe, haven't you? It's different from playing it like on a keyboard sample or something like that. You're forced into different phrasing.
Yeah.
And things.
I think there is a lot of on that album, because I don't know how much of you followed Oasis a huge amount, like pre and post then, but that album a little bit, but that was sort of a very experimental kind of psychedelic-y album for them, and it's got a lot of mellotron and it's got a lot of sort of keyboard noises and things and choral effects and things like that. So it was them sort of trying to mix up the sound. I think after Be Here Now, they'd kind of taken that sort of normal five-piece sound sort of as far as they could. And so hence they were trying to then mix it up a bit. And so...
I think it's got basically Paul Stacey all over it.
Yeah.
So it's in some ways it's his baby, not that he gets credit for that, but then they've gone, oh yeah, that's good. Let's just do, we can leave a bit of that in and stuff. Because that's his signature really, I suppose, on the whole of it.
Well, and I think the general psychedelic-y sound.
Yeah, and he was playing bass guitar and everything on it, and then I think it got a bit problematic when they needed to re-record it and stuff, so I'm not quite sure what happened there, but it's a lot of Paul. I think Noel was really impressed with Paul. Well, they still work together,
yeah. No, I think it's generally, I mean, maybe, you know, in the Oasis fan world, I think everyone accepts that album, because, you know, Bonehead and Gwiggs, the original members, left during the recording of it. And then so it's pretty much Alan White, the drummer, and Noel, you know, and then Strange Boy sort of does pretty much everything else. I mean, Strange Boy is how he's credited. Do you tend to call him Strange Boy or no?
No, I think that was Noel's nickname for it, because they found him a bit odd. I think when they first went on tour, Paul kept himself to himself, and that's quite an odd thing to do when you're with A-listers, you know, and they wanted to know what he was doing when he was going around all the guitar shops and stuff whenever they'd hit a city. And then they're like, oh, we're going to hang out with you now. So they thought that was strange. So yeah, he got this nickname Strange Boy. But I've just always called him Paul.
No, that's fascinating. I didn't know that, actually. I just thought it was sort of his kind of performing name. I didn't know it was just a random nickname that Noel had given him. That's brilliant.
Well, yeah, and then I think he's using it for his studio name now as well.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, the whole like process. I mean, you sort of said Noel kind of had a melody idea. Did he just sort of sing it to you?
Yeah, just sang it and then just left us to it. Went downstairs and left us to it.
And this is just at Supernova Heights, that the sort of the recording studio there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. So you never got to go to the south of France where they recorded the album proper?
No. No, they just took the audio off it and copied it in. So, you know, I'm just really glad that they used it, because otherwise it, you know, it might be Ian Anderson and I. Yeah, but it's not. It's me. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's just that must just be a cool thing to have on your CV forever, that you played with one of the biggest bands in the world, really.
It's funny, because after I did it, I was getting quite a few cold calling from people, and I think it was The Sun, and it credits me as classical flautist Charlotte Glasson. I was thinking, I'm definitely not a classical flautist, but okay.
That's brilliant. What were they trying to get? Get any scoops on the boys or something?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was weird going around Supernova Heights, because there's people outside wanting to get a glimpse and all that. Yeah, it's kind of strange, but yeah, it's where they, I mean, he doesn't live there anymore, does he? No. Sold it ages ago.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was all people writing on the wall, you know, like they do at Abbey Road.
Yeah,
sorry. Thinking, well, this is a piece of history. Yeah. Remember, he had an amazing fish tank and an amazing carpet. Yeah.
Amazing carpet,
your
sorry.
Carpet, yeah. Really great psychedelic carpet. And he's taking me upstairs, and I'm going, wow, I love it. And then thinking, keep cool. And he had this huge fish tank that underneath his stairs that sort of went up the whole house. It was beautiful, yeah. So, wow.
Was Meg around, or was she not around at this time?
She wasn't. I didn't see her.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And did you ever hope to get the call to go out on tour with them? Because I know they didn't. They ended up just doing sort of keyboards on the following tour, because that then album is what they played at Wembley in 2000 and that sort of tour. But yeah, that might have been fun.
Yeah, it would have been nice, but I wasn't expecting it, really. If it's just on kind of like one tune, really, it's not going to happen, is it? Maybe if the solo was on the album, like it is on the demo, but yeah, no, it's everyone's.
Well, with the other Charlotte, the scissors player, she did one bit of talking on one song, and then you got to come and play the scissors for the part of the band, so that's unfair.
Yeah, I'm not bothered.
No, well, that's brilliant. But I mean, just to say as well, so I mean, that's you know, was there ever any talk of doing anything else? Have you stayed in touch with Paul or any of them since?
Yeah, I'm still in touch with Paul. Nothing's come up, but you know, you never know. You never know what will happen. It's anything could happen. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Once you've got that reputation, I suppose, that they know that you could be there to come in and do it. It's been great. I've had a listen through some of your stuff, and it's really good fun. And like, I know some people might be put off by the J word, you know, that ends with two Z's.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it, you know, but to be honest, it becomes underneath that the sort of like the jazz umbrella, but it's not jazz how most people would know it. It's everything in between, I think. So
yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I've just been listening to it, just sort of, you know, walking the dog and being around for the last you know, it's just really like just really enjoyable, pleasant, fun music with a bit of a sense of humour as well. You can get that. There's definitely a sense of humour.
Totally. I mean, that's a. Often that goes against me, you know, the fact that it's a good, fun, entertaining kind of gig that we do. But I mean, I just think people being too up themselves, really, is just kind of like, you know, music's meant to be enjoyed and it's meant to affect you in certain ways. And if you're just impressed by it, that's not really music, is it? It's just technical prowess or whatever. So often on some gigs we do, it's all the sort of like wives, long-suffering wives that have been coming to these gigs that they don't really want to their husbands, and they sort of clean me out of CDs, go, this is brilliant. And then the husbands are a bit more snotty and it's really good. So it's something for everybody, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. We've got quite a few nice gigs coming up for that in the summer as well, some nice festivals for my band. And just recorded a new album, which is quite different, which we've got to mix and release sometime later this year, I suppose.
Thank you. And I've really enjoyed it. It sort of reminded me a bit of so Steve White, who's Alan White's brother, who was plays with Paul Weller and played with various people over the years. He had a band called Trio Valor or Trio Valore, sort of just doing like cool Hammond organ and like a three-piece sort of like, you know, 70s kind of, it could be sort of intro music to 70s funk TV shows, you know, that sort of thing. And I think there's a bit of that in there. You've got that with the flute and everything. It's just got that cool like vibe to it. But so I've really enjoyed it. And it's something that, as I said, it probably wouldn't have come on my radar otherwise. But, you know, that's one of the great things. And so, I hope people give it a listen on the back of it. So what's the plan for the album coming up? You said there's a bit of a change.
It's a bit slightly more kind of like there's a bit more synth in it, really. So it's still very eclectic. But, oh, it's hard to explain. It's a bit, it's a bit more electronic. Some of it's a bit more electronic, I suppose, which is kind of quite interesting. And it's a lot of people that I've kind of played snippets to are really digging. But it's just, you know, things move and change, don't they? If you stay doing one thing all the time. I remember Noel saying actually that he, because I was quite surprised because I just knew all the Oasis anthems, but when you listen to sort of like the B-sides of singles, they're brilliant and really great, but nobody but the true fans ever really get to hear that. And it's such a shame because I think if they heard those, they might be going, oh, yeah, this is great, but it's just, if it's not on people's radar, it's hard to get them to listen to stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah, if you only know Roll With It and Wonderwall, then you paint them in a certain light. And I think they often got up a lot of, people just sort of made their mind up just through the tabloid stories and everything and actually didn't then go and listen to the music. But I know what you mean. Is there any particular B-sides that sort of stuck out for you that like, that was sort of different?
Ooh, I can't remember. The one about Cigarette, I can't remember which one that was.
As Long As They Got Cigarettes in Hell.
Yeah, I think so all those. It's funny because I've got some gigs coming up with this band called The Wave. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, Graham Coxon.
Yeah, so it's like, do I tell Graham Coxon that I did some Oasis? I probably will do.
Well, they're mates now. Yeah, they are. They have been. They've done various bits together. I heard a brilliant story that a guy. Guy called Davey Lane, who's from a band called UMI, a well-known sort of Australian band, and he did something for Graham. I think it was Graham's record label launch or something, and he was there. I think it was in Camden or something, and Graham's there, and then Noel walked into the backstage, and Davey didn't have a clue like what the situation was. He said it was like, you know, the good, the bad and the ugly. They kind of looked at each other. There was this pause for a second and they both went, hey, and had a big hug. But he was like, oh, good, okay. So it's not going to actually start.
That's fighting. Nice to know that they're mates.
I think they are. I think they are pals. So I think you can tell them that in the safety that you're not going to be kicked out. What are you doing with The Wave?
I'm doing the March tour, and I think there's a few other gigs in the summer. So, I'm playing sax and violin.
Excellent.
On it. And then they're going, oh, you play the saw. Let's have a bit of saw and maybe a bit of flute. Who knows?
I read about that. I mean, we joke about scissors, but you actually play the saw, like a B&Q saw.
It has to be the right make, but you can get sounds out of the right ones.
Fantastic.
So that's good fun. I learned that from doing a show with Stomp. Do you know Stomp?
Oh, yeah.
So, they wanted to do Stomp with some harmony. So, got a few saw players, people in to learn how to play the saw to do that. Yeah, so my career has been very, very varied.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about it, really.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, I was listening to the Waves. I think their album just came out a couple of weeks ago, I think. So I was giving that a listen. But similar to that, are you sort of being given parts to play almost like sheet music, or is it a bit more of a collaboration?
Basically, we're recreating that record. So it's kind of like I'm playing some of the sax parts there that Graham did, because Graham also plays saxophone. And then the girl that was on it, she can't do the tour. So they're kind of like, oh, who else do we know that plays saxophone and violin? Like, get Charlotte in. Okay. I'm there.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Well, I suppose the moral of this story is, have plenty of strings to your bow. Well, literally, I suppose. Yeah, fantastic. All right, brilliant. Well, look, Charlotte, thank you very much for your time. It's been brilliant to catch up. And
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, where can the kids find you if they want to find your work and stuff?
Just type in Charlotte Glasson, GLASSON, into Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Music, and you'll be able to hear it. My last album's called Bonito, after Frida Kahlo's parrot. It was called Bonito. And I hope that they enjoy it.
Brilliant. Oh, that's absolutely fantastic. And we tend to end with like a particular Oasis song that you enjoy or has a memory for you. Is any that particularly stand out to you? Obviously you've got Gas Panic, I suppose, but any other ones?
The one about the cigarette. What is it? If there's cigarettes in hell.
As long as there's cigarettes in hell.
Yeah.
Fantastic. All right, brilliant. We'll drop that in a bit. But Charlotte, thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Really, really enjoyed talking to Charlotte. And thank you to Katie Georgiou, who sort of helped through a connection, helped put that together. Oh, just to say, actually, on that front, Katie's published author. I think we've mentioned it last time. She had a book out about mental health. She's got another one out as well, which I'm really looking forward to getting hold of. So I'll put the link in the description to that. So well done, Katie. Great stuff as always. So Gas Panic then. So let's see what you guys had to say about it on Twitter. In terms of the score, the rating, it got loads of votes. Actually, it got 782 votes, which is one of the highest I've seen. 5 got 51%, so over half of you gave it a 5 out of 5. 4 got 34%. 3 got 12% and 2 got 3%. So that's going to be right in the top few songs that we've had so far. And let's see what you guys had to say. Dan Best says, a high 3. Another one that should have been a single, but then it was on the set for a few years. Live version miles better. Do like the outro, psychedelic backwards guitar and faster drum playing, especially Second Night Wembley 2000. Well, I think we're going to have to drop that in, aren't we? Great stuff. Thank you, Dan. Richard Bowes, a hugely underrated monster from an unheralded era. Moody, magnificent, and proof that Noel can do darker subject matter as well with some of his best lyrics. One for the hardcore. Great production too. Susie in the Sky, masterpiece this. Lyrics and Liam's voice are amazing. As soon as first words start, what tongueless ghost of sin crept through my curtain? The chorus is outstanding, and live the song is just mind-blowing. Was great when Liam put it on his set list in 2019-2020. Yes, definitely, Susie in the Sky. Much appreciated. Very much agree. And thank you for had a few messages with Susie about French music, having picked a couple of French songs for my Best Song of the 90s last week. Ashley Haystead said, it's the Wembley version that takes it to the stratosphere. Jules Holland version not far behind. Actually, let's drop in a bit of that. I didn't drop that in last week. So here is a clip of the Jules Holland version. See, I really like that, and I like the fact that they did something a bit different, you know, on Jules Holland. They didn't just stick to the single. They did go and play an album track, and that's really, really cool. And it shows, once again, how much they rated that song. Will J. Martin, I really liked it when it was released, but can't remember the last time I listened to it. It just sounds bloated to me by a band who had peaked by this time. Still a 3 out of 5, though. That's interesting. I mean, I can see why someone would think that, but personally, no, I don't find it bloated at all. I really enjoy it. Mark Nolden, absolute stone cold classic, live, even more epic, 1,000,000 miles ahead of anything on the rest of Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. Bat Spur, 5 out of 5, an absolute banger of a tune. Liam's vocals are superb and at their best. Lyrically, it's fantastic too. Probably the best song from the Standing on the Shoulder of Giants era, along with Let's All Make Believe and Roll It Over. Boy Named Hugh, I gave it a 3, comparing it to the back catalogue as a whole. Potentially Noel's best lyrics, though. BL, Bobby0723, says 3. On Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, it's a big fish in a small pond. Ranked against their entire catalogue, it's just good. Evelyn says, I'd say it's not my favourite song in Standing on the Shoulder of Giants era, but I really, really loved the 2000s gigs of Oasis, because Liam's voice was quite the same as nowadays, but obviously in a better condition. Also, Noel's skills in singing were pretty much Liam's, which I feel is the best chorus period than the famous Aquarius. I'm Spangled Like a Flag says, 100% classic Oasis, love it, always have, always will, 5 all the way for me. Lyrics, the music, Liam's vocals, everything comes together to make something dark and amazing to listen to. Michael Hart, a clear 5. It's the best song on Standing on the Shoulder of Giants. I've seen the bar in Tokyo it was named after. There we go. Knowledge. Danny O'Hanlon, it's brilliant. I wish more casual fans knew it. I think of this as Talk Tonight's even moodier and more dysfunctional sequel. That's very interesting. I suppose they're similar in the way that they're both very introspective songs. But beyond that, yeah, I've never made that connection. But yeah, I like that. The demo is great, but Liam's vocal makes the song creepy and menacing in a way that Noel's voice isn't really capable of. Yeah, it's a great shout. Wardy, not in my top Oasis tracks, but still pretty good. Love version of Familiar to Millions is good and a good one to play on guitar. Yeah, absolutely. James Freestone, it's a quality recorded song, but live was so much better. Britpop Memories, 5, no question about it. Gas Panic is the finest post-Britpop era Oasis song and a top 10 entry for their whole career. And Sam Crompton replied with what they said. So yeah, I agree with that, James. Very good shout. Will Buxton, it's a solid 10 out of 5. Best album track the band ever recorded. Lyrically, musically, perfect. They never did anything to ever touch it. Stone cold, completely and utterly fucking magnificent. Wow, that's a very, very ringing endorsement from our friend Will of the Formula One Drive to Survive thing. Dennis Zylstra said, a song that even my Oasis-hating friends couldn't argue against. The Wembley version still blows me away. Andy Middleton, 3 out of 5. Never been a massive fan of this, which I know is at odds with all other Oasis fans, but I do like the sentiment and story behind the song, which is why I give it a 3 rather than a 2. Would normally skip this if it came on a playlist. Sorry. Wow. We don't have to apologise, Andy. It's up to you, but yeah, that's quite a bold thing. Would I skip Gas Panic? No, I don't think I'd ever skip it, I don't think. Maybe if you really just wanted some upbeat, bouncy songs, then maybe you'd skip it. But no, other than that, I think this is always getting played. Chris at Randall 100, if you're not choosing five, are you even an Oasis fan? Well, yeah, I think a few people have said less than five, and I would count them as Oasis fans. But yeah, I understand the sentiment. Brandon Lee Ashlock, five, hard to beat this one. Jay, Brooms underscore Jay, if it's the live performance from Jules Holland, it's a 19. All Things Oasis, if we're going for the album version, I'd give it a 4 out of 5. The live version in Rio or at Wembley, make it a 5. Yeah, Rio is heralded by many people as the best version as well. So why don't we drop in a little bit here? Jamie P. May, no idea how anyone could give this any less than a 5. For me, it's up there with the best of Oasis. It's probably some of Noel's best penmanship, especially when you consider what it's about. Liam's vocal delivery of it is superb. The rock and roll guy says, quite happily, give this a 5. Although the subject matter is quite dark, as a tune, it rocks with that simple screaming guitar break. Sandy at Brit Music Girl, 5. Absolute banger through and through. Crookie 80, very overrated, great live though. That's interesting. I suppose it depends on how closely you follow kind of forums and like Oasis podcast Twitter and things like that, because if people aren't really involved in that online chatter, then you probably would say it's underrated. But then if you are involved in that online chatter, then you might say it's overrated, because yeah, people do generally think it's brilliant. So yeah, 1RB Oasis might be their best 2000 song. Easy 5 out of 5. Liam's voice is haunting and Noel's lyrics are amazing. I can feel Noel's mind in this song, and that's rare from him since I usually feel his heart. So what a great point. The live version in Rio is even better. Reese Cameron, how it wasn't a single, I'll never know. Yeah, would it have been a single? I don't think so. I think it's too kind of long and dark to have been a single around this time. So no, I wouldn't have had it as a single. Gas Panic is Dwa-La, D-O-I-R-E underscore La. Gas Panic is a quality tune, good lyrics and a good vocal. It's also produced very well too. It's really all about the live version though. It always sounded absolutely massive at gigs, especially in 2000 before LG's voice issues. The LA Rock and Roll Baby, absolutely blinding tune. CM, who is at SW6 Daily, album version 3, live at Wembley 2005. Beza, Osiris Rage, not great and on their worst album. Worst album is harsh. I wouldn't say it's their worst album. You've got Heathen Chemistry, it's probably the worst. Flemo, 1983, one of Noel's most different, honest and intelligent lyrics. A unique Oasis song would be a 5 for the Familiar to Millions version. Also always memorable as the intro to Standing on the Shoulder of Giants, as the intro was the music on the mini site on the Oasis iNet website. Ah, there we go. That is I didn't remember that. I did go on that website, but I don't remember that at all. Well done. Delboy, absolute banger. Dan MacSaund 77. It's all about the second verse kicking in. Gets me every time. I was at Wembley in 2000. Friday, I suppose that means, and it was epic. Yeah, I was at Wembley. I don't remember it, to be honest, but I don't remember much about that gig, other than like the Robbie Williams banners and Who the Fuck Is Andy Bell chants and stuff. That was about it. Kelly, live at Wembley 2000, first night was mega. Tom Lowe, at the time of the album drop, I'd have given a 3 out of 5, quite a different direction from the Oasis sound I loved. However, over the years, it's grown on me more. Appreciate the swirling, moody, almost psychedelic monster that it is. A solid 4 out of 5. And Tribal Oasis says, a solid 4. Saw Oasis perform this at Wembley in July 2000. Won the last gigs before they demolished the stadium. The sound system was truly shit, but Liam was his normal cocky self. If I remember, he came on stage, flicked the V's and shouted, "Hello, Manchester." Yeah, it was something like that. Also, I don't know where it was because I remember seeing it, but I can't find it now. So apologies, whoever said this, because this was a great shout, something I wasn't aware of. Or I think I might have heard it before, but I've forgotten. We've all been praising so much Noel's brilliant lyrics here. And yet, I'm really sorry to tell you this, it's a massive rip-off of Oscar Wilde. There's a poem called The Sphinx, and there's a line where he says, "What songless, tongueless ghost of sin crept through the curtains of the night and saw my taper burning bright and knocked and bade you enter in?" So, yeah, I mean, it's a great shout from Noel. And we know, I know from a Matt Morgan interview that what he tends to do is sort of pull a poetry book off the shelf and have a flick through and find some inspiration. I think it's definitely worked here, but, you know, maybe the inspiration has gone a little bit over the top into plagiarism. But hey, you know, you have to, number one, pull a book off the shelf. Number two, own the book in the first place. And number three, find the line, change it to what you want it to be, and then have the brilliant song to put it to. So hey, I'm going to cut him a bit of slack here. But yeah, I was a bit like, come on, Noel, when that was pointed out to me. All right, well, I think that on that positive note, that will do it. Thank you for listening to the Oasis podcast. And most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where I post articles and bonus episodes and things like that. There's been a couple of bonus sort of Wonder Walk episodes recently. I also did an episode breaking down the Brit Awards top, the songs nominated for Best Song, which was a good little piece talking about modern music. So I was slagging some of it off. So if you find that entertaining, then, you know, chuck a couple of quid my way and you can go and have a listen to that. And yes, I've done a couple of written pieces recently. That is publicly available, like I said, which is about the Chris Moyles thing. But then another one on a timeline of all of the Oasis members. And I'm thinking that's going to then become an episode or maybe even a YouTube video. So yeah, anyway, look out for that. And yeah, and if you can subscribe on YouTube as well, that'd be brilliant. I'm over 800 now, but I really want to push on to get to 1,000. So if you can take the time to drop over onto my YouTube and subscribe, it would be greatly appreciated. All right, I think that will do it for today. Thanks to Charlotte for coming on. Thanks to you guys for listening. And yeah, as ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.